V'haya eikev tishmeun eis hamishpatim ha'ele ushmartem va'asisem osam v'shamar Adonai Elohecha lecha es habris v'es hachesed asher nishba la'avosecha. This shall be the reward when you hearken to these ordinances, and you observe and perform them. Hashem your God will safeguard for you the covenant and the kindness that he swore to your forefathers.
OU Israel presents...
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Ekev, recording and first broadcast Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 21st day of Menachem Av, 5775, corresponding this year to August 6th. I guess before we do anything else, let us do Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yoh Adonai miya amod. Ki imacha hasalicha l'ma'an tivare. Ki viti Adonai kivata nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim l'boker shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha umeyafela l'ora, umishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. As I mentioned last week, it is very hard to say these words about our fellow Jews that are in trouble and captivity. May God have mercy on them and take them from their troubles to comfort, and from darkness to light, and from enslavement to redemption, speedily and soon. It is hard, when you say that, not to think of Jonathan Pollard. We still have to wait for his release, and the conditions of his release and the cost of his release all fit into one's thought when we say Achenu. And I would like to dedicate the Yaakov Shweki version of Achenu in honor of Jonathan Pollard.
Achenu kol peres Yisroel, hanesunim batzoro, ubashir yohanesunim batzoro. Yeah.
Okay, let's get down to the Parsha. As I've said in the past, the first three Sedras of the Book of Devarim, Devarim, Vo'etchanan, and this week's Akev, Moshe Rabbeinu is sort of schmoozing with the people rather than instructing them and reviewing with them mitzvot, which come in great numbers next week, Re'eh, the week after Shofetim, the week after Ki Teitse. Now, maybe schmooze is not the best word, because there's a lot of important things that he's talking to the people about, but you feel a relaxation. You don't. You feel a tension. Moshe Rabbeinu is winding up his life. He is not going to realize his dream of entering the land of Israel. He has been granted a supernatural view of the entire land in all of its directions, but he's not going there, and the people that he's speaking to are. And he tells them over and over again some very, very important concepts. So we have here a deal. God's deal. He says it over and over again. If you keep the mitzvot of the Torah, then good things will happen. God will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain, your wine, and your oil, the offspring of your cattle and the flocks of your sheep and goats, on the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You will be the most blessed of all the peoples. There will be no infertile men or infertile males or females among you nor among your animals. Hashem will remove from you every illness and all the bad maladies of Egypt that you knew. He will not put them upon you, but he will put them upon your foes, your enemies. You will devour all the peoples that Hashem your God will deliver to you. Your eye shall not pity them. You shall not worship their gods, for it is a snare for you. And it continues, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. You will have battles to fight. God will be with you. Just keep the faith. Faith in God, and keep and observe the mitzvot. And it goes on and on. Then we get to chapter 8, which begins with a verse that I cannot not speak about. It's a personal pasuk of mine, which I have graciously left in the parsha so that when it is read, everybody can hear it as well. But I take it very personally. There are many other psukim like it. This is the one that happened to have hit me and became mine. The story, which regular listeners and readers and students of mine probably would remember, goes back to summer 1969. I was one of the madrichim of a high school group touring Israel. The group was called Machon Kayetz Dati. It was made up of members of Mizrahi Hatzair, an organization that doesn't exist anymore, and a few NCSYers, an organization that still is around and flourishing. The NCSY of the OU, which I've been working for many, many years. That's not relevant. What is relevant is on the Shabbat afternoon of Shabbat Nachamu, that would be this past Shabbat, we were just coming out of the shul having davened Mincha. At Mincha we read the beginning of the next week's Sedra, which was Akev, this week's Sedra, and the boy that I had assigned, to whom I had assigned to give the Dvar Torah at Seudah Shlishit, came to me on our walk from the shul to the dining room and said he forgot all about it, he's not prepared, and he's not speaking. One of my tasks that summer was to pinch hit with Divrei Torah and anything else that needed pinch hitting. So I quickly opened my Sidur and looked at the Torah reading that we had just read. For your information, the Mincha on Shabbat, the Monday morning, the Thursday morning readings, which are the preview of the coming week, Sedra. For Akev, it is the longest that we have in the course of the year. It's a 25-verse opening Aliyah, divided into three, so that it can be read for the three people at Shabbos Mincha, Monday morning, Thursday morning. I'm looking at it on my walk to the dining room. My mind is quickly trying to put together a Devar Torah that I could share with the groups and not seem as if I just opened the book and found it. And a pasuk jumped out of the page and smacked me in the eyes, between the eyes, as the expression goes. The pasuk is Kol HaMitzvah Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom Tishmerun La'asot Lema'an Tichyun Urvitem Uvatem Virishtem Et Ha'aretz Asher Nishba Hashem La'avoteichem. The entire commandment, commentaries say, it's a singular, which means the entire body of mitzvot, that I command you today, you shall observe to perform, so that you may live and increase, and come and possess the land that Hashem swore to your forefathers. I'm reading this pasuk, and I read it over and over again. And as I said, I have found many psukim like that in Vo'et Chanan, in Devarim, Vo'et Chanan, Ekev Re'eh, at least there, where Moshe Rabbeinu is saying a very basic truth of Jewish life. And that is that the purpose of mitzvot is for them to be lived and observed in the land of Israel. They are required to be observed, the ones that apply outside of Israel, all over the world. Wherever a Jew finds himself, he has to keep the Torah. But the purpose of mitzvot was to live, to multiply, to settle, and possess the land and live here. Here in Eretz Yisrael. At that moment, I don't remember how my Devar Torah went over, but at that moment, I made a personal decision that my future was in Eretz Yisrael. Period. It was an ironclad promise to myself and to God that my future would be in Eretz Yisrael. Between the time that you make that decision and you actually carry it out, could be a short time, could be a long time. For me, it took me 12 years till I got here, which included another summer as a madrich, summer 71. It included getting married, it included starting to teach. It included a couple of other trips to Israel. It included a decision to come and then a last-minute change due to the ill health of my mother-in-law. And then finally, from summer 69's decision to September 81, finally coming on Aliyah, by that time with wife, with older daughter, not yet 5 years old, middle daughter, who at the time was the younger daughter, a year and a half, maybe 19 months, and then we added another daughter here in Israel, and Baruch Hashem, they're all married with children, which means grandchildren, and Im Yirtzeh Hashem, the dream and the promise and the commitment has come true, and, you know, we have to see what the future will be. Nobody should ever get smug in realization of a dream, because things can change, but in Yirtzeh Hashem, this is where I live, and this is where I will continue to live and do my thing, and haven't regretted it for a minute. I know that back in the States, I was teaching Torah, and I was a significant force in my school and in my community, and Baruch Hashem, I didn't have to give that up when I came here. I just had to rework it for the population that we have here, mostly Anglo Olim, but covers a lot of other people as well. But I wanted to tell the story again, and I wanted it understood. Look, summer 69, I was 21. I had been inculcated with Zionist aspirations, religious Zionist aspirations, since childhood by my parents, and then in Bnei Akiva, and I was always pointed in this direction. But I still felt that that Shabbos afternoon, in summer of 69, another tumbler fell, and it was locked into my mind and my heart and my soul that my life would be in Eretz Yisrael. So that's my pasuk. All the mitzvah, meaning all mitzvot, that God commands are in order to flourish and come and possess the land which God promised. Then Moshe continues, V'zachartot kol haderech, remember these last 40 years that Hashem led you through the Midbar in order to test you, to see what you were like, and gave you the man, and taught you the lesson that man does not live by bread alone, ki al kol motzafi Hashem yichya ha'adam, but by the word of God he lives. Then Moshe reminds them of various miracles that took place. Your clothing did not wear out, and they grew on you as the young children grew bigger, and your feet did not suffer blisters, which would ordinarily plague people who journey through the wilderness, and shoes didn't wear out, and you were protected by heavenly clouds of glory, and you had miraculous food and miraculous water. But all of that was the gestation period of the Jewish people, like a baby's period in the womb, in order to come into this world. Different rules, different nourishment, but this is where a person lives. And that's what Moshe says to the people. He says, Ki Hashem Elokecha Miviacha El Eretz Tova. Let me lean it. Ki Adonai Elohecha Miviacha El Eretz Tova Eretz Nachalei Mayim Ayanos Usahomos Yotzeim Babikha Uvahor. For Hashem your God is bringing you to a good land, a land with streams of water, of springs and underground water, coming forth in valley and mountain. Followed by a very, very famous pasuk, known as Shivat HaMinim, the seven species that describe the land. Eretz Chita Usa'ora V'Gefen Us'eina V'Rimon Eretz Zeis Shemen U'Devash, a land of wheat, barley, grapes, figs, and pomegranates, a land of oil, olives, and date honey. Eretz asher lo v'miskenus tochal boh lechem lo sechsar kol boh. A land where you will eat bread without poverty, you will lack nothing there. Eretz asher avoneha varzel umehareha tachzov nechoshes, a land whose stones are iron and from whose mountains you will mine copper. And the final verse of this section, V'yachalta v'savata, and you will eat and be satisfied, uveirachta es Adonai Elohecha al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach, and you will bless God for the good land that he gave you. Okay, we have a lot of things to talk about here, so let us begin. I didn't really mean let us begin, I meant let us continue. There is a Mishnah, I wrote about it in Torah Tidbits, there is a Mishnah in Masechet Brachot, which discusses different opinions as to the application of the last verse that I wrote. You shall eat and be satisfied, and you shall bless God for the land. Meaning thank him for the food, but also thank him for the land. So let's learn that Mishnah. It's interesting on its own, and it also hopefully will serve as a little bit of a booster shot in our taking Birkat HaMazon, benching after a meal, a little bit more carefully, with more feeling and more understanding. The Mishnah says, Ochal te'enim anavim v'rimonim. If a person ate figs or grapes or pomegranates, Mivorech acharehem shalosh brachot. He must say the full Birkat HaMazon. We don't follow this opinion, but this is what the opinion is, that a person who eats from the fruits mentioned in that verse, verse number 8 in Perek 8. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with more Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Ekev. Sorry about that. I was in the middle of a sentence or a paragraph, and I cut it for the first half to the second half. So you're listening to Torah Tibbetz audio. Again, I don't know for sure what Darut Sheva puts in between the two halves, but if you're listening to this continuously, here's the rest of what I was just saying, and we'll continue from there. He benches full Birkat HaMazon, Divrei Rabban Gamliel. That was the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. V'chachomim omrim, but our sages said, the majority of the rabbis said, Bracha achat me'ein shalosh. One bracha, which is an abridged version of the themes of Birkat HaMazon. We call that bracha, bracha acharona, the after bracha. It's also known as Al HaMichya. It's also known as Al HaGefen or Al HaEitz, depending on what you've eaten. Okay, just to expand that a little, Rabban Gamliel's opinion is that on Shivat HaMinim, that means pastries and other products made with flour of wheat or barley or the other grains that are in that category, which get mezonot before, after you eat them, full Birkat HaMazon. Or grapes, pomegranates, figs, olives, or dates, which are also mentioned in that pasuk, also require full Birkat HaMazon. Now, Rabban Gamliel's opinion we don't follow, but it comes from a certain logic. In the sequence of the psukim, you have Eretz Chita Usora, those are your pastries, V'gefen Utena V'rimon, and grapes and figs and pomegranates, Eretz Zeit Shemen, the olives which give oil, meaning olives, and Davash, which means the date palm whose fruit provide honey. So that pasuk is followed two psukim later, within the same context, with the words, V'yachalta v'savata, you shall eat and be satisfied, uveirachta at Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach. Therefore, says Rabban Gamliel, the Shivat HaMinim, consumption of Shivat HaMinim, any or all of them, requires a full Birkat HaMazon. Comes the Chachamim, and they say, that pasuk, too far back, stands on its own, Eretz Chita U'Seora, requires by rabbinic law, according to most opinions, an after bracha, which is called Bracha Me'ein Shalosh, which is an abridged version of Birkat HaMazon, which is the halacha which we follow, which means after having cookies or cake or spaghetti or pretzels, which would be in that first part of Eretz Chita U'Seora, or having any of the five fruits, the Gefen U'Teina V'Rimon, Eretz Zeit Shemen U'Devash, one is not required the full Birkat HaMazon, but is required a special bracha composed based on the themes of the full Birkat HaMazon, because these are the produce that are described, are used to describe this good land that the people will soon enter, namely the land of Israel. So that's the way the Chachamim go. Then there's a third opinion in the Mishnah. In other words, Chachamim say, only when one eats bread or a full meal that either begins with bread or a bread substitute, which is beyond the scope of the show at the moment, one has to say full Birkat HaMazon, and Chachamim get it from the juxtaposition of Pasuk Tet and Yud, not going back like Rabban Gamliel did to Pasuk Chet, Eretz Chita U'Seora, but the next Pasuk, Eretz Asher Lo V'Miskenut Tochal Ba Lechem Lo Techsar Kol Ba, a land where you will have plenty of bread to eat and be lacking nothing. So if you eat bread, then say the Chachamim, the next verse tells you what you have to do, V'yochalta V'savata, eat and be satisfied, U'veirachta Hashem Elokecha, which means say the full Birkat HaMazon. Third opinion is that of Rabbi Akiva. He says, Afilu ochal shelek, v'hu mizono, mivorech acharav shalosh brachot. Even if a person eats a vegetable salad or a vegetable stew, and that's what he's eating as a meal, and that's what is satisfying him, then he is required to say Birkat HaMazon. Rabbi Akiva's logic can be, look at only verse 10. Don't qualify it with any elements from 9 or 8. Just look at that verse by itself. V'yochalta, you shall eat, what? Anything. V'savata, and be satisfied. So you had chicken with rice and string beans and a cup of soda and some pickles, and that was your meal, and you're satisfied, says Rabbi Akiva, you have to say a full Birkat HaMazon. We don't follow Rabbi Akiva here either. Let me explain something in general, and I don't know, you know, when I'm sitting in a class and speaking to students in front of me, some of whom I know well and others who I might not know, but at least I could look on their faces and see their reaction. I want something understood here. Mishnah brings us back either time-wise before halacha was fixed or behind the curtain, to use another metaphor, behind the curtain, meaning get a glimpse to the input that went into a halachic decision. Picture a body that was in charge with making these rules, and you have different opinions based on the sequence of these psukim. And I also need to add that if you like Rabbi Akiva's opinion, Rabbi Akiva says, eat and be satisfied and bench. Well, I don't like bread, and I don't eat pastries, and I don't have those fruits all the time, and I don't have a glass of wine, but I have a full satisfying meal. Do I have to bench? The answer is no. Rabbi Akiva would say yes. You might like Rabbi Akiva's idea, but that doesn't change the halacha. The halacha is that when you eat meat and or chicken and vegetables and various and sundry other things, none of which are part of the Eretz Chita Usura Pasuk, and none of which are part of Eretz Asher Lo V'miskenut Tochal Bo Lechem, then you don't say Birkat HaMazon. You say Borei Nefashot, which is a short bracha of thanks after we eat the non-seven species kind of things. That's the way it works. And again, I want to emphasize, you can like Rabbi Akiva and like his opinion, and you cannot follow it l'halacha. Birkat HaMazon is only after a meal with bread, or by rabbinic law, bread of a certain quantity, even without a satisfying meal, but that's rabbinic law, or a kviat su'uda, it's called, establishing a meal with an almost kind of bread. Again, beyond our scope. So that's the Mishnah, and that's the concept behind the after brachot. Birkat HaMazon, top of the list, full benching, required by the Torah. If one is satisfied, required by Chachamim. If one is not satisfied but has eaten a certain amount of bread, still has to say Birkat HaMazon. The Borei Nefashot and the Al HaMichya and the Al HaGefen and the Al HaEitz have their own guidelines and are all part of the picture, as are the opening, the before food brachot, which we're not going to go into now, but those are all inspired, all established by our sages, who were inspired by the concept of blessing God in thanks for food and, remember, for the land as well. At this point, I'm going to do something which I am not happy with, but because I had a power outage in my home and spent extra time seeing to its restoration, which I must admit was not thanks to me, but we couldn't tell at the beginning whether it was our problem or the neighborhood's problem. It turned out to be partial neighborhood. In any event, I'm out of time. Thursday, I have a very tight schedule because right after recording the show, I go to Modi'in to visit daughter, son-in-law, and grandchildren, and I don't want to mess up their schedule. And basically, I'm out of time. I have to catch a bus. I apologize, and I hope that I think on OU Radio that shouldn't be a problem. It'll just be a shorter show. And what Arut Sheva decides to do with the time remaining is their decision, but they will have to make it, and hopefully they'll put on some music. But I have no choice but to wish you a Shabbat Shalom. And before I say Lehishtameya, I will also remind you that this week, Akev, we bench Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Elul is not till the following Shabbat and the day that follows it. Next Shabbos and Sunday are Rosh Chodesh Elul. So we have, besides whatever's left of this week into Parshat Akev, we have the full week from Sunday to Shabbat. Shabbat is already Rosh Chodesh of Parshat Re'eh, and Amir Tzashem will have a regular full show about that next week. Lehishtameah.